Welcome to another podcast by Every Nation Brisbane. We're so glad you can join us here today. For more information about our church, visit us on the web at enbrisbane.org. Please enjoy the following message.
Okay, so right now we're going to go into the reading of our word. So could I ask everyone to be upstanding? So our reading this morning is from Matthew 19, verses 13 to 14. One day some parents brought their children to Jesus so he could lay his hands on them and pray for them. But the disciples scolded the parents for bothering him. But Jesus said, "Let the children come to me. Don't stop them, for the kingdom of heaven belongs to those who are like these children." This is the word of God. I'll introduce Mark right now, who's going to be bringing our word this morning.
Let's just pray. Lord, give you thanks this morning. You are so awesome. You are so awesome. Lord, I pray that you have your glory here in this service, that we just all get out of the way. Just recognize that we can nail our stuff, our rubbish to your cross, because you are good enough. You are our Lord. Thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. I have the honor to bring the word today. I'm really excited about that. You know, you guys are my friends and family, and I look up to a lot of you. So it's a really tremendous honor to bring God's word to you this morning. I just wanted to start by sharing a bit of testimony. And it starts at the last campus service. You know, we have our Campus Alive happening once a month where we get together. Shout out for our campus guys. Come on. Yeah, it's awesome. So we get together and we have a night of prayer and a night of worship on campus where everyone can come. It's really great. And, you know, we have a word to start that. And as the campus and youth ministers here, Adele and I work alongside our volunteers to bring about that time. And with that, I bring a little exaltation at the start. And, you know, after last campus service, I felt a bit uneasy. I felt a bit uneasy because I didn't really prepare for it. God has gifted me to be able to speak in front of people. And I naturally spend time in God's word every day. So I know God's word as well. But I got to this campus service. I'm so busy doing all of my stuff that I'm, you know, so tied down with doing, getting through this, getting through that, getting through this and getting through that, right? And then get to campus and it's like, oh, I can wing it. It's good. I'll get through it. How many can relate with that in your life? Like, can you relate with me here? It's okay if you can't. Maybe it's just me. But, you know, I came away from that and I felt something not right. And I asked my wife on the way home. We were on the way home actually with Rish as well. And I asked her, you know, how did you feel about the campus tonight? Like, how did it go? And how many of you run to someone you love and respect to, like, give you some, like, encouragement when you're not feeling so great about things? And my married friends in here, especially the husbands, will know that the wives are like the most honest speaker of like anything. So, you know, you will get the truth from your wife, right? You ain't getting the honeyed version of that, man. You are getting the straight up version, right? So for my single brothers and sisters, or my single brothers in there, look forward to this, man. You are wrong. And you are going to get it. You're going to get it honestly. And this is one of the blessings in which this partnership of marriage has. We have an amazing relationship in which we have somebody who will give us the truth. And it's the truth where you find breakthrough, isn't it? Not in your cloud of whatever, right? So I was like, oh, yeah, you know, she's going to build me up now. Yeah, she did. She did eventually after she said to me, Mark, you know what? I don't think you prepared for this. And you know what my response was? I don't know if any of you can resonate with this. Yes, I did. The truth is so hard to swallow sometimes, isn't it? It's so hard to swallow the truth sometimes. Yes, I did. And then I took some time out. No, I didn't. Yeah. And, you know, I'm really blessed that I get to work in ministry as my job, as my calling. I don't feel like I've been made to do anything else. And so I have, we have a tremendous team on staff here and volunteers. You know, we have our staff meeting every Tuesday, and Pastor Nelly and Pastor Tina like to sow into us and build us as people. And at the moment, we're going through a book together called The Emotionally Healthy Leader. Who's read that one? It's a really nice book. Really getting a lot out of that. And he talks about in that book about people of God go to oftentimes a desert. There's a time to go in a desert. And what happens in that desert, you know, like there's no distractions. You know, there's no distractions of Even if you think that you're doing something that they're usually, you know, you might be, oh, I'm listening to my word on the way to work, but it's not really like in your desert because you're going to work. That's what you're doing. Secondly, you're listening to the word of God. So if that's not really your time with God, is it? You're not in your desert. The desert looks like going out there and being like, no distractions. I'm just out here. So I spent time in that desert, and this is where I arrived at this, that I'm doing a lot of this on my own strength, and I can get by. I can get by, right? But in the future, it's gonna bear bad fruit, actually, right? So I was heavily convicted, man, and I repented from where I was at. God, I'm so sorry. I've been doing this by myself. You know, does this resonate with any of you? You're on a journey with God, and you're like, yeah, I'm doing the Lord's work. I'm doing the Lord's work. I'm doing the Lord's work. And then suddenly God takes a turn like this, and you're still like this way. I'm doing God's work. I'm doing God's work. And then you get to this point, and you're like, hang on, I don't feel God in all of this. I feel lonely. I feel depressed. I feel anxious. I feel all of this stuff. And you're wondering why? Because you're out here by yourself. I found that I was out here by myself. Now, the desert can be a good place to be by yourself if you're out there intentionally going after God, right? So I was out there, and I got convicted by this. So having my phone with me, for example, you know, when I preached before or done anything, I was too proud to use my phone to take notes because I want to be all smart, right? So today, I'm humbling myself. I'm using my phone here, guys. Like, I have prepared for this message. I promise you I prepared for this message. But I don't want to leave anything in the tank, right? So I might look down at this from time to time. So a bunch of questions came out of this time in the desert. Bunch of questions came out of this. And, you know, there's questions about my life, where I'm at in my life. There's questions about my work as well, right? And that's where we arrive today with Church in the Wild, the next generation. And there's some questions I got out of this time that I just want to journey through with you guys and just go through. How do you guys feel about that? Feeling good? All right, great. So if we're going to start on a journey like this, the first question has to be this one, right? If we're talking about the next generation, our first question should be this one. What's God's will? Not my will. What's God's will? So let's start with that. If we go to Scripture in Ephesians, it says, fathers, do not provoke your children to anger, but bring them up in the discipline and instruction of the Lord. Cool. God's will is for your children to be brought up in the discipline and instruction of the Lord. Let's have a look at this. Then children were brought to him, that he may lay his hands on them and pray. The disciples rebuked the people, but Jesus said, let the little children come to me, and don't hinder them, for such belongs the kingdom of heaven. Then children were brought to him, that he might lay his hands on them and pray. The disciples rebuked the people, but Jesus said, let the little children come, and don't hinder them, for such belongs the kingdom of God. That's the same slide, but with some red on it. That's the same slide with some red on it. Let's have a look at that. For such belongs the kingdom of heaven. So Jesus is saying that these children, this is their destiny. The kingdom of heaven is their destiny. That's his will for them, to be brought up in the instruction and discipline of the Lord so that they can inherit the kingdom of God. Not half of it, not our houses, not our cars, the kingdom of God. You've got to ask the question, how do we not hinder them? How do we not hinder them? We build with them. We don't build around them or over the top of them, right? That happens sometimes, doesn't it? Who's prayed through some things at for freedom, you know, in the first day or maybe at a previous victory weekend that come as a result of that one being built over as a child? It's real, isn't it? Damage is real. So we build with them. We build with them so they can inherit the kingdom of God. And just like I loved this slide last week, there's no shortcut to this. There ain't no way you can find a shortcut to this. Building relationship, building something with somebody takes time. There is no shortcut. So with building in mind, let's look at this question. Are we slowing down to build with the next generation where they're at? Are we being authentic? Are we being genuine? How many of you guys know that this generation can smell a rat? Man, they're on it, man. They're born with iPads in their hand, man. They got the Google. They got the Google. They know what's going on, huh? They are smart, man. I tell you what, spending a year working alongside teenagers, I can tell you one thing. They are smart. You want to feel dumb and untrendy? Go and work with teenagers. Because seriously, wow, they are super smart. They have some amazing things to say, don't they? But we got to be authentic. We got to be genuine. They're not okay with the bait and switch. And do you know what? I'm not either. I'm not cool with the bait and switch. Who is cool with the bait and switch? Does anyone like the bait and switch? Nah. I love the scripture. Romans 12:9, right? In the ESV, do you know what the title, like, you know how that, obviously it's not in the manuscripts, but, you know, to make our Bible reading easier in 2019, we have those little titles sometimes. You know that, yeah? Do you know what the title is for this passage in the ESV? Marks of a True Christian. This is Paul's first point. Let love be genuine. The next word, abhor what is evil. So that is an intense word that we don't use very often. It's like a disgust. Have a disgust for what's evil. Let your love be genuine. Abhor what is evil. Hold fast to what is good. So we can't really blame the next generation for they're after something authentic. They're after something genuine. God made them this way. Marks of a true Christian. Of course they're hungry for that. They're hungry for how their daddy made them. They're after something genuine. This is something genuine, isn't it? I found this really interesting. These are some points, three points that Christianity today marked that the new generation desire. Authentic relationships, genuine hospitality, and space for questions. What are we doing about that? We really need to meet people where they are, don't we? You know, this is all well and good inside our four walls here, and it's really safe in here, and it's really great. But if we're really going to have impact and bring the love of God to our community, we need to go on, instead of standing back here in our holy huddle, being like from a distance, we need to get in the trenches, don't we? We need to meet them where they are, in their gunk, in their stuff. And it's no different for the youth, right? This is something we do on campus. Catch-ups. Catch-ups are about real relationship. We make some time and we spend time, quality time with people. Really spending that quality time, building authentic relationships. And it's by the grace of God that any of this work can be done. You know, I'm so, you know, even outside of the sphere of Every Nation Campus on out there at UQ, there's 10 Christian clubs out there now. We go out there into the Great Court, which, funny enough, we've renamed as a joint Christian body there, the Lord's Court. The Lord's Court at UQ, we're out there at lunchtime, and we're seeing 10 Christian clubs reach the students of UQ, aren't we, Curtis? Every day of the week, man, they're out there. Isn't that encouraging? And you know why that's so encouraging? Yeah, it's not ENC, but we're empire building. Yeah, we are. God's empire, right? It's not our empire, right? It's not about how big our club can be, how far our reach is, what we're doing. You know, we get some more numbers for our budget kind of thing. No. We're not building my empire or Adele's empire. We're building the empire of God, and there's Christians out there representing on campus, and I love it. And this is one way that we're bringing this to some students, authentic relationships through this. Also out on campus here, Tuesday nights and Thursday nights. This is something we just started. I love this. I love it. Genuine hospitality. What we do is we get together on Tuesdays, Thursdays. Tuesdays for the men, Thursdays for the ladies. And we have dinner and a conversation. And you can come to this dinner and conversation who you are. We have people from different faiths. We have people of no faith. We have Christians come and we choose a topic, say, let's talk about morals this week. And everyone has an opportunity to share where their foundation's at with that. What does that mean to you? We also get to share our Christian perspective too, right? Amazing. But through genuine hospitality, we're building relationships with a generation that and a collective of people that might be overlooked. Come on, man. We all got to eat dinner. Right? When that life group looks too hard to make, when that anything that you're doing looks just that little bit hard, and I get it. I get it because we're all busy. We're all super busy and there's heaps going on. And I get it in our with our students. You know, they're there as uni students. And, you know, we got it. God's called them to be in that season to steward their studies really well, right? But let's get creative with this, right? Everyone's got to eat dinner. And what we do with these roundtables, we say we start at 6:30, we end at 8:30, and we stay true to that. Because how many of you know that a good thing can become a bad thing really quick when it starts to take a toll? If you're a real busy guy and you can't commit to your times, can't show up on time, right? I hear the crickets, right? Can't leave on time. I hear the crickets. Like, but seriously, guys, people need to take us for what our word is, right? We're starting at 6:30. We're finishing at 8:30. And this gives our participants in this a surety that, you know what? Yes, I got to eat dinner. Yeah, sure. It's 2 hours. I can make it because I know I'm going to leave on time and get back to what it is that God's called me to be doing in this season, studying, right? But for now, we can take some time out. Let's get creative with this, right? Build relationships authentically. And you can build these relationships just by eating your KFC. Can I get a hallelujah, David Lim? Come on, right? Just need to step outside of our box a bit. Let's look at this one. Here to hear you. I love this one. Something else we're doing on campus. We put a sign up with this on. We put our red mat down. And we sit in the great court, the Lord's court. Hey, I like it. Right. And people can come and talk to us about anything. Anything. What do you want to talk about today? We'll talk about it. We're here to listen. Because you know what? Something that our community really desires is someone to talk to. How simple is it? We don't have to be elaborate. A need in our community. You know, Facebook tells us we have 100 million friends. Some people feel so lonely they have no one to talk to in the whole world. Isn't that terrible? Breaks my heart, man. It breaks my heart. So we sit out there and we'll talk to you about anything. It's amazing how a lot of these conversations turn to God, not by our leading, but just when you make room for the Holy Spirit. But we don't have to have that conversation. We just want to talk. We want to serve a need in our community, which is to be there to listen. To whatever it is you want to talk about. And it's funny, hey, in even doing that, we're slowly taking one brick out of the wall that divides us, right? Because suddenly what Christianity might have meant to them in the past, or what they might have read, or what they might have picked up, they go, oh, I start to remember, oh, I was talking to those two long-haired weirdos in the Lord's court, and, you know, my brother Curtis down there. And actually, I don't think what I think of Christianity might be real. Might have to explore this a little bit more. One brick at a time, hey. You don't need to be in rushing in your relationships, guys. Don't feel like you have to, like 2 seconds. I gotta go from like creation to salvation in 20 seconds and be done with it. The most genuine breakthrough comes from genuine relationships that take time to evolve. Are they facing this way or are they facing this way? And are you on the journey with them regardless? You just have to be there for the journey. If God is king of your heart, that's just going to come out of you, right? You guys know, you talk about what you're passionate about, right? It just comes out. I love footy. I can talk to Caleb so much about footy. I love talking to Caleb in our youth about footy. I'm passionate about it. It's not hard, right? I love talking to people about God because it's just my passion. I just love God, man. It just comes out. Just step out of the way. Let the Holy Spirit move. You don't even have to do anything. You just have to show up. Half of the battle, you know what? I don't even know if that statistic's real, but sometimes it feels like half the battle is just showing up, eh? Right? It's hard sometimes to show up, isn't it? But you don't get breakthrough when you don't show up, eh? You generally just end up in that little part where you're out on yourself. Oh, why do I feel lonely? Why do I feel depressed? Why am I so anxious about things? Why am I feeling so distant? Yeah, you're out there by yourself. It only takes one thing to do to stop that. We call that repentance as Christians, that 180 back to God, right? What an amazing gift that is. I want to talk to you about this. This is our youth. You saw some of our youth. That was only some of our youth. We've got a lot more youth in this church than that. But you saw some of them. You probably know a lot of them here as well. And we meet at the moment every Friday night. I love it. It doesn't matter what's going on in my life. Whatever's happening, I look forward to seeing these kids on Friday nights. I love it. They're so, like I said before, they're so smart, so intelligent, so lovely. And in this, we're genuinely building relationship. We spend time genuinely building. I genuinely love these kids. Can you believe that? To be honest, guys, and Adele will vouch for this, man, 5 years ago, I just didn't like kids at all. I was so selfish with my time. Like, I just wanted it all about me. But isn't it funny when you seek after God, He gives you a new heart and He starts to break your heart for what breaks His heart. I love them. I love having them in my home. I love our parents in here allow Adele and I to sow into their lives. We don't take it for granted. It's not our right. It's a privilege that you give us. And we're so grateful. We are so grateful, and I love it. So we build relationship. We give a space, just like Here to Hear You, for genuine questions. Genuine questions. Our youth, via the platform of Alpha, had a space for genuine questions last year, and we'll start this again now we've finished Alpha. We had a thing called Slido where our youth can fire anonymous questions real time up onto the screen. So I know parents, this can be a little bit daunting sometimes because we weren't like this, but you know, children are living in their devices. Talking about meeting people where they are, let's meet them there then. If they want to have the conversation there, let's have the conversation there. Instead, we need to have the conversation. So with something like Slido, we have live questions. Yeah, it's a bit awkward sometimes to ask questions face to face, but these guys are bold like this, so let's give them that platform so we do. And some of the biggest breakthroughs that we've had with the youth have been via this platform. Giving a space for questions. Don't be fearful of questions, guys. In your faith, in your Christianity, it's okay. You don't have to shoulder it all. Just step out of the way and let the Holy Spirit move. All you have to do is show up most of the time, right? Just show up. Let the Holy Spirit move. We worship a living God, not a dead God. He's living. He loves interacting with His creation. He wants you to lean in on Him. Lean in on Him. He's got you, right? So we're building relationships. We eat together, every youth. Man, kids can eat. Man, they can eat. But you know what I found out in all of this? Man, you can feed a teenager pretty much anything. Bless them. Ah, man, I'm such a picky guy with my food, but man, you just chuck food in front of these youth. Man, they eat it up. The one thing you can be guaranteed of is there's just been none left. It's good. It's good. Makes things a bit easy. But again, it's about being deliberate in making these times, making these spaces, not shying away from these things, building genuine relationships, loving having people in your home, eat with them. Yeah? I love it. Right? This is the last question that I really... was like, whoa, about when I spent some time in my desert, was this, are we slowing down to hear what issues the next gen face, or are we deciding what they are for them? Because it's really easy from our lives to talk from where we're at, right? It's really easy for us to decide what they're facing because, you know, we've been through it too, right? Us, you know, I'm not an old person. I'm not calling out old people. But like us older people, us wiser people, you know, we've all been through school, so we all have what, and it's just cool because you tend to lean on your own experience, right? So we lean on what our experience and what our issues were in school and stuff like this, right? To then try and shape, which is good, but let's get in the trench and listen. Let's find out what's happening today. So with that in mind, I've asked a couple of people to come, and we're just going to have a bit of a discussion here with Bianca. She's a school teacher in our congregation. Thank you. We've got some seats, and we have one of our youth, Caleb. It's a little bit different, isn't it? Let's slow down and, yeah, how bold is this? This guy here, just blows me away all the time. All the time. Looking good today too, Caleb.
Thank you.
So let's find out. My first question is, we'll just start with you, Caleb. What issues do you personally face at school?
Having a fear of being judged for my faith.
It's hard, huh? Mm. Yeah, man. And how does that make you feel? Bit of fear?
Kind of makes me feel like not encouraged because, you know, I'm not living up to my name of like being brave and bold, but I shall be.
I just want to cancel that really quickly, that lie of the enemy, man. You are the most boldest kid I know. And you are a true leader, Caleb. And you're a bold, very smart, loving young man. And God loves you. But isn't it interesting to hear how someone, within our church who, you know, we consider to be a leader can have these types of struggles in their day-to-day. I know this is resonating with you in your own positions. You know, this can be work for you or your other relationships, right? B, what about you as a teacher?
Actually, it's quite similar. When I first started teaching, I was wondering the same thing. And actually, I've been teaching for a year and a half now, and this week was the first time I went and Googled, what am I actually allowed to share with my students? Because I want God to use me in that way. And so I guess it's similar, just how do I live out my faith in a secular school? As a teacher, obviously, there's legislation and stuff that I have to adhere to, but it is also a concern, so you're not alone. It's good because I get to share with my colleagues too, so there's that platform too. So that's a blessing.
It's interesting when we start examining our positions. Like, you know, I heard a great quote. It's in the Every Nation songwriting material, which says that God is ready to give you your platform when you're ready to surrender it. And, you know, as being a teacher, you know, you're in there. You are where God called you to be. You feel that God's called you to be there. And it's interesting when you're in that obedience, the platforms that actually start presenting themselves, isn't it? Like through your staff, children, you know, it's amazing. So what I'm hearing though is it's really hard to share your faith within the context of school.
Yeah.
Mm. That's genuine fear. Like that's a concern. That's hard, isn't it? Because we want to bring people the love of God, don't we? What about this? What issues are your peers facing, Caleb?
Being blinded by the lies of the enemy, having a fear of not being themselves and not searching for what they should be searching for.
And that's a big one, hey. Do you think there's a really big fear of not being accepted amongst your peers? Like everyone wants to fit in?
Yeah. Everyone changes their appearance just to, you know, be accepted, but why fit in when you're born to stand out?
Wow.
Yes.
Wow. Let's move that piece to checkmate. Takes a lot of courage. But it's a genuine concern, not fitting in, hey? What about you, B?
My peers or?
Yeah, your peers.
Most people I get to speak to, colleagues, I find there's a lot of anxiety. There's a lot of trying to balanced life, and a lot of people ask me why I'm always so peaceful, which is a great conversation starter. Wow. I've managed to talk to two people about my faith because of that question. I do feel like with a job that's so stressful, so complex, you're meeting parents, kids, you've got to do data entry, learn 140 names, relationship, lesson plan, teach your lessons, and then the take fails, you know, like you have to problem solve all the time. So I do feel there is a lot of stress, and if you don't have a source of peace, if you don't have God, I actually don't know how my colleagues do it without God, because I know there's a grace and a peace because of God in my life, and that's what I see in their lives, and that's obviously something they're struggling with if they notice that in me.
It's interesting, like, if I examine the world as a whole and think of a cyclone, for example, how it can be like a massive storm right around, but there's peace in the middle, in the eye, hey. And it's like you're like that peace within your school, isn't it? Like there's that storm going on and you guys represent that eye, that peace. That's amazing, isn't it? So we're bringing peace into our community. That's sounds pretty positive.
That's awesome. Yeah, I'm going to take that.
I love it. We're bringing a home for people who they're struggling with not feeling like they fit in. That's like an identity issue. Well, I mean, we've all heard that word thrown around a lot, you know, out there in the big world, haven't we? How are ways you can address that? How would you help one of your friends, do you think, Caleb, maybe with helping them fit in?
Probably, like, pray for them, you know. Just ask for God to heal them, heal their sadness, you know. Get rid of the lies of the enemy, take it out of their heart and replace it with a new one.
Man, do you find some of your peers are struggling with sadness?
It's hard to tell because most of them are, you know, they put on an act.
Got a face on, yeah, right? Trying to protect, yeah.
They got a mask on, try to hide what they're really experiencing, like what they're going through.
Mm.
Yeah.
How do we break through that? I mean, it's hard, isn't it?
Show up. Be there.
Be the peace in the storm, right? Everyone notices the eye when it passes over, hey, the peace.
Mm.
Yeah. All right, I think we might have time for one very last question. Do you have any advice for anyone who's feeling called out to help in your setting, rather as a teacher or help our students?
I can start. I guess I can speak to a few areas. If you feel like you're called to be a teacher, I think go for it. If it's a gifting that you feel like God's placed on your life, like you can make such an influence on someone's life. And I say this because I had teachers who were not so good. And one of my biggest things is I want to encourage the youth, because one of my biggest setbacks was from a teacher. And I think a lot of people can relate to that because teachers have such a big influence. Yes, like, so when someone in that authority isn't, you know, acting in a godly way or in a way that represents God, in a way that is out to wound people, it can be so damaging. So it's significant that, you know, sorry, I don't know why I'm crying. I'm like, oh, victory weekend. I've been through this. But, you know, like, it's so significant that this is an area where I was wounded, because now I want to ensure that doesn't happen to kids. I want to ensure that I speak life over kids. And even though sometimes I don't feel like I'm doing that successfully because they don't respond, it doesn't matter. I just keep speaking life, like it's going to make a difference in one kid's life. And
sowing seeds, right?
Yeah. So if you want to help with youth, just show up and just, you know, be genuine, be yourself, be open. And if you want to help, like with breakfast clubs, or with, if you feel like you can be a chaplain, like that would be awesome. I think the biggest thing is just be genuine, like those three things you were saying, like genuine relationship and hospitality. A lot of the time it's just saying hi to a kid who, you know, might not have a lot of friends, or checking if they're okay, or saying, you know, come hang out in the library, or, you know, whatever. It's just, I guess, being friendly and seeing people around you.
Yeah, it really doesn't take much, hey. And I really, thanks for sharing that, Bianca. That's very touching. And I think something that really resonated with me, what you said there, was, you know, hurt people really hurt people, don't they? Even if your intention can be good, if you're a hurting person, generally, you know, that fruit tends to be, you know, of hurt. So it's something that we like to work through here.
Go to Full Freedom.
Brisbane, the Full Freedom, like going through prayer ministry. You know, God can really take you to the places of where these wounds started, and really bring healing in your life, hey. And I'm just so blessed. Our community's really blessed that you're there, with our students. Thank you. What about you, Caleb? How do you think What advice would you give to somebody that feels called to?
I'd probably just say, like, don't let the lies of the enemy get you.
Yeah.
You know, feel encouraged by the word of God. Don't change yourself just for the pleasure of others.
Mm.
You know, you don't need to try to fit into a mold that was made for you by your peers, you know. Like, God's already got that down for you. Like, he's already molding you as you grow older. You know, as you walk, as you make that walk through Christ.
Thanks, man. Yeah, I am always blown away the wisdom that can come out of a 14-year-old young man, hey? Amazing. Just taking time to listen, isn't it? Thank you. Can you guys just thank these guys? So I just wanted to finish with this. We can really help steward this. And we can really, there is just tiny little things that we can be doing just to help our next generation step into what their destiny is, to inherit the kingdom of God. What steps can you take to help the next gen walk into their destiny of inheriting the kingdom of God?
We hope you've enjoyed today's message brought to you by Every Nation Brisbane. For more information about our church, visit us on the web at ianbrisbane.org. Thank you for listening. God bless.